Fighting for America.
It's very clear. If you're going to attack Americans, whether for criminal or national security purposes, we are going to hold you accountable, no matter what country you live in.
Fighting for Idaho.
52.5% are not in favor of the bike lane on Capitol Boulevard.
The cyclists don't follow the law. They ride in an unsafe fashion. They don't pay their way.
Fighting for you.
The EPA told Andy Johnson because he didn't get a permit with the Army Corps of Engineers, he violated the Federal Clean Water Act.
I can't even light a match out here and burn a weed. What they've done is they've turned us all into lawbreakers.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, I just love your show.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kay Miller with you here. We're joined now by, I just like to call him Alex the Coffee Boss from The Human Being, but I'm going to attempt to, and you're going to go, look, I know all these radio slappies. And, you know, can he get my last name right or not? I don't know. Alex Furioso, is that correct?
Furioso, yeah.
Furioso. You see, it was just that public education phonics that did me in. But thank you so much for joining us here at 580KIDO.
No problem. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So now you're a young man. You're in business. You have a great company called The Human Being. You've been getting a lot of buzz. You're in the highly competitive world of coffee.
Yes, sir.
What drove you to that?
I love coffee. There's so many different ways to make it. There's so many different things that you can do, combinations, the way it makes you feel. Just getting in there brings me back to bartending.
Right.
Doing some different stuff, high energy, good stuff, makes you feel better. I looked at coffee. I worked for Starbucks. I know I said the S word here, but worked for Starbucks for 5 years, New York City and Connecticut.
Now, wait a minute. I got to do that typical wacky zany radio thing. New York City, Connecticut, Idaho?
Indiana, Idaho.
Indiana, Idaho.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
My parents lived here.
Okay.
And we moved back here to be closer to my parents. I have three daughters, so, you know, it's a nice town. We love Boise.
Great place to raise a family.
Oh, very good place. Beats New York.
Sure.
And everyone from back east, don't hurt me.
Sure. So now you're working for the S company, so you're learning the trade, you're figuring this out, and then you decide to go on your own. That's easier said than done.
Yeah. Starting your own business, it's amazing how much on-the-job training you will get. There's so many things you don't think of, so many aspects, so many different little idiosyncrasies that, you know, when you have one store, you can control a lot. Because you're there every day. You see everybody. You can talk to everybody. You know, we now have four stores with our fifth opening in June out in Caldwell. So now, instead of being in one store every day, I'm in every store every day. And being able to touch individuals and talk to them and, you know, help train. Biggest thing is making sure my passion comes through in others. So, you know, when we hire the individuals and bring them on, you know, I have a pretty extensive training program to make sure that when you come, no matter what store you go to, you're going to get the same drink, same service every time. And if you don't, I want to know about it and I fix it.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about the business perspective. It seems that the government penalizes you the more successful you get.
Yep.
I mean, we go from one store where, you know, it's you and a couple employees. You've got, you know, unemployment compensation, workman's comp, your tax doubly, yet you do it. So you started off with one store. You're at four. You want to go to five. How has that happened? Because, and I've never been to Seattle, and I've been to New York a few times. But for me, at least the town this size, we have an abundance of churches. We have an abundance of fitness centers. And we have abundance of coffee. Mm-hmm. So you come up. Come here, you develop it, you're successful. That's easier said than done.
Yes, it's been a beautiful struggle. The first year, I remember there was one point where I worked, I think, 80-something days straight, you know, in the store every day and just, you know.
And what year was that,
2009? That was 2011.
Okay, so the economy still was not kicking. It
2012,
was still,
sorry, 2012.
Right, still in the doldrums.
Yes.
You decided to take this leap of faith.
Of course.
All right.
Why not?
Well, a lot of people would say they'd be afraid they'd lose, and it's a lot of work.
I'm an all or nothing type of guy. I put everything in. I'm always all in. I'm always the guy who's going to – I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. When you have a passion, and I tell everybody this no matter what business it is, if you have a passion for that business, if you have a passion for something, nothing's going to stop you. You'll overachieve. You'll get over the obstacles. I mean, if the passion's there and the love for it, it's kind of like the love of the game.
Right.
You know why these athletes kill themselves and just do this no matter what it takes. Of course, they get paid a lot of money, but it's for the love. I mean, if you don't love what you're doing, why do it?
87 straight days.
87, around there, yeah.
And what was the impact that had on your family?
Oh, my kids were very upset. I mean, there was quite a few times where we went up camping, and we would get up there, and we would, you know, spend the day. Then Dad would go, okay, I got to get up early the next morning, go to work. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon. I'd drive back down to Boise, work, you know, do what I got to do, and then I'd go back up, and we'd have a barbecue and fire pit and everything,
right.
Go to bed. You know, my family means everything to me. I mean, I want to make sure I'm there for them whenever they need me. So, I mean, it's something that I chose to do. I own my own business. There's perks, and there's also the hard work that comes with it, and, you know, you get what you put into it, so...
580KIDO, we're talking to the Human Beings Coffee Box boss, Alex, with us here as we continue on. And let's talk a little bit about advice you would have for people that are starting their own small business. And I still want to go into the inside world of the coffee stuff. But
okay.
But before that, because it's such a part of our lives here in the Treasure Valley, advice you would have to people right now that are struggling, that may be dreaming of what you've done.
Get a good network of people. Find people that have been successful in opening their own business and pick their brain. Any small business person will tell you, if you have a question, call me. I mean, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you. You want to go out and get some breakfast or lunch? I mean, I'll be more than happy to give you an hour or two, you know, tell you some of the things that worked for me in my business and some of the things that didn't work for me, give you some real life experiences, and hopefully that'll be able to transport over to your business and, you know, maybe make yourself a little bit more successful or take some of that burden off of some of the stuff that's going on in your business.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be working with EO Entrepreneurs Organization here in Boise, the Idaho chapter. And that's basically what I'm doing for myself is surrounding myself with other business owners that have been successful, because I'm going to continue to grow. And trust me, I don't know everything myself. If you don't know, ask. That's my biggest thing.
What about the government regulations? We hear that's an impediment. A lot of folks that own small businesses here in Idaho wish that it was a lot more small business friendly. How have you found the state to be, let's say, compared to what you face with the feds?
It's not very favorable. It's annoying. I do not agree with a lot of things that go on. I do not want to alienate myself because of some of the things I would love to say.
But if you were a lot of people running for governor right now, if you were the czar of the state for small business, what would you recommend to ease the burden on small business?
There needs to be more benefits. I mean, we're the ones out there hitting the pavement, mm-hmm. you know, creating jobs. Everyone wants to talk about big business creating jobs. What are those jobs actually? I mean, yes, they help the community, but if you talk to a lot of the people that work for me, I mean, I'm giving them real life experiences. We start talking about different ways to analyze P&Ls, different ways to deal with marketing. It's not just coming to work at a coffee shop. It's what do you want to learn?
Right.
You know, in more of a small business atmosphere, these individuals who work in a small business, you wear many different hats. So therefore, when you go on and, you know, you move on into society, you're going to be more able to adapt in different situations, where in some of these big businesses, I mean, there's so many regulations, da, 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 and, you know, bean counters.
Right, and it costs money to employ the bean counters to make sure you're
exactly
compliant.
But as far as the small business, I mean, everyone just wants to hammer down. Oh, no. I mean, it's just there should be more benefits for small business individuals who are doing it the right way.
Alex, let's talk a little bit more here at 580KIDO. We talked a little bit about the overall scope. Take us inside the coffee business. My wife loves the coffee. I'm a local guy. I'll support a local business, and you have a lot. You know, you mentioned the S word. They're fairly dominant in these parts and all over. How, and you got a lot of good local operators here. How do you develop your market? How have you?
I have gone in. The Human Bean has a great product. It's premium espresso. They work wonders with Portland Roast Company, who does our roasting. We have all farm-friendly products, which basically means we go into these countries. We set up water filtration, water towers. We set up schools. We set up hospitals, give them a fair trade. It's not, you know, 100% of our beans is fair trade. So it's a great product. Has to deal with freshness, has to deal with, you know, your machines. Are they calibrated? Are they clean? Holy cow, are they clean?
Do people think about that when they're in line to get their latte?
No. I think, personally, I think a lot of people, you know, it's kind of the drone syndrome. They're on their way to work. They need their coffee. They've been going to this place for X amount of time, and this is where they go because it's what they know.
Right.
A lot of new customers that we'll be getting will be, you know, we've driven by I don't know how many times, and we're deciding to give you a try. You know, are you just a mom and pop? And then everybody goes into the fact that, no, you know, Alex and his wife own it. You know, local guy. We got four shops with more expanding. And they're like, oh, really? Okay, didn't know that. And we try to educate the customer. I mean, there is so I can pull a shot of espresso, and I can get it to taste 15 different ways just based on how I tamp the espresso and how the grind is.
Right.
You can have that change. So what I did is I like the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. We have super automatic machines, which basically get calibrated on a weekly basis. But it pulls the shot, it grinds it, and it actually tamps the same pressure every time. So no matter if you're pulling the shot or if I'm pulling the shot, it's going to come out the same way.
Consistency
is key, especially when you have multiple stores. And, you know, you've been through the drive-thrus.
Right.
You got to pound that out. When you got people in line, the last thing you want them to do is sit there for 10, 15, 20 minutes to get a cup of coffee, you know. So the big thing for me is get it in, get it out, and have it a great product and a great experience.
All right. We go inside the world of coffee here at 580KIDO. Much more coming up.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined by the coffee boss, Alex from The Human Bean. And Alex, you and I were talking off the air, going back and forth about small business here in Idaho, and you were telling me about the value of a caramel mocha versus your place versus somewhere else.
Yeah, Kevin, we were talking about actual added value that the Human Bean here, you know, just in, you know, great cup of coffee, but you get more bang for your buck. Industry standard, you know, 20-ounce drink normally comes with two shots. At the Human Bean, we actually put four shots of espresso in our 20-ounce drink. We also have, for some crazies out there, little 32-ounce iced drinks.
Right.
But industry standard, 20-ounce drink normally comes with two shots. We put four in there. It's $4.51 with tax at our establishment. You go elsewhere, it's going to cost you $6.50 to $7. And, you know, fair product, good product, at a great price.
And let's talk a little bit about your guarantee, because we were talking about this off the air. And by the way, I'm just having you in here to hang out. There's nothing else. There's no collusion or anything else. So let's talk a little bit about your money-back guarantee, because we were talking about this off the air.
Oh, yeah. I will give anybody the challenge. If you've never tried the Human Bean and, you know, you want to make sure you want to try it, you go grab a drink. You don't like it, you call me, and I'll give you your money back right there. No questions asked.
We're going to ask you to grab those headphones for a minute here at 580KIDO. We're joined by Tom Munns and TomMunns.com. They has a question for Alex from The Human Bean.
Well, I wanted to say The Human Bean is awesome, and he sounds like a pretty good guy, too. So, anyway, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Tom.
I had a question. You know, I heard him talk about the stores and stuff that he's opening, and he said something really interesting. You know, when you asked him about government regulations, he just kind of sighed a little bit. And, you know, one of the things I'm hoping to maybe empower somebody here or whatever, if I'm any good at that. But why is it in corporate America today and a land of free people, that free people have become submissive and the corporations become submissive when they are the ones that are in the driver's seat. Why isn't it, or maybe there are efforts and I'm not aware of it, why aren't in the meetings that you plan on having, maybe there could be collaborative efforts to be able to try to, you know, to make a stand against, you know, against all the regulation.
All right. Well, yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Thank you, Tom, as we continue on here at 580KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about you've been hit by a few robberies. And the reason why I know this is I follow you on Facebook. You're quite the colorful character there. And I thought it was unusual that you're actually trying to find these guys. What's going on?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
The son of a gun ended up, you know, stealing from me. You don't steal from me and get away with it. I don't think anybody should steal. I mean, we should start some, you know, stricter regulations here. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Basically, a couple weeks ago, down at my Broadway store down there off of Broadway, two girls were working. One was cleaning the windows. She walked in, you know, sat down with the police. We looked at the video. She was washing her hands. She turned around to lock the door, you know, after she came in. And the individual just walked right in behind her. Told him to get down on the ground. You know, he wasn't going to hurt him. You know, he's so sorry. He doesn't want to do this, but he has to. He needs the money. And my thing out to that individual is get a job. You don't like your job? Get a better job. Come on. You know, don't steal from somebody who's out there working, trying to earn an actual living. You know, we put some pictures on Facebook, you know, and some of the comments that people say, oh, what a, you know, it's not a clear picture. You know, it's not this. It's not. I can't control what the media releases as far as what I give them in video.
Right.
You know, and trust me. I mean, if anybody knows this individual, I mean, he's about 5'10", clean shaven. He was wearing a hoodie on the back. It looked like it had some type of insignia as far as graffiti on the lower. Had white drawstrings for the hoodie. He had sunglasses. The biggest thing that I took from the video is the individual probably has a size 13 to a 15 foot, big feet. About 5'10", skinny built, and talking with the cops, I think he's probably, you know, he was out there strolling for drug money.
This is something that you have to deal with as your business expands.
Yes.
Safety.
Safety. All the stores do have cameras. All the stores have kill switches. Once the kill switch is hit, the audio goes and the police are actually notified. So the girls did a great job. They did everything they were supposed to do. You know, they gave him the money. He got away. No problem. We'll find him and we'll deal with that when we find him. But the girls did what they were supposed to do. Nobody was harmed. And the police were actually on their way before the girls even called 911. So I'm proud of them. It's something that I hope we don't never have to go through again. But with that said, we are actually installing outside cameras now at all stores. That way the girls can actually see on the monitor if someone's approaching the building while they're working.
I have to hit you with this. You talked about this off the air, and it's quite an accomplishment. Tell us what you were doing at 28.
28 years old, I was a freshman at Notre Dame, working 60 hours a week for Verizon Wireless out in Indiana with three children at home and the great wife, Wendy Furiosa, who supports me in anything I want to do, and she thinks I'm crazy. But if there's not a little bit of chaos in my life, you know, what's going on?
Wow. So, and what made you do that?
You know, after high school, I went to junior college for a year. I got accepted to a couple colleges, but really didn't know what I wanted to do. I moved to moved to North Carolina with some high school buddies, partied, you know, didn't know what the heck was going on. Moved to New York, started working for Starbucks, you know, met my wife. We got married. She went to USD, so she had, you know, very good education, a very smart individual. Loved my wife to death. You know, how can I, as an individual, tell my children when they grow up, you need to go to school. It's the best thing for you. But, Dad, you never went to school. You know, school's not for everyone. Trust me. I mean, there's plenty of business people out there who have not attended a four-year accreditation and, you know, are still doing very well for themselves. So I just took it upon myself. You know, I have that method where I'm not going to ask you to do something that I've never done myself. So I went back to school.
Coffee boss Alex from The Human Bean, anything else you'd like to share with us?
Just appreciate the time being able to just come in, tell a little bit about me. Hopefully some individuals out there can relate to the situation I'm going through. with expansion and having a good time, the passion. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, I'll leave you with my number. If they want to call in and you want to give them my number and they want to chat, I'd be more than happy to. And by all means, everyone go get a cup of coffee, and if you don't like it, I'll pay you back.
You heard it here first. That's the Human Beings Coffee Boss, Alex. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, men.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. It's time for the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett with us. And Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we had the election, what was it, 21, 22% of the turnout, a little down from last time's 25%. But in CUNA, they had so many votes, or so many people voting, they ran out of ballots for a while.
Yeah, they had to print up some ballots, and then they had to do special verification of those, blah, 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 to get that done. But I guess the school levy issue, which did pass in CUNA, was the big that was the big draw there.
Yeah, the big draw in CUNA, and we've got election results for you at 580kido.com. In addition to that, though, how fixated on the races were you last night?
You know, I mean, in part just because information didn't start coming out until late, and they pretty much went the way I thought. Fulcher was a little closer than I thought he'd be, which should be a message to Republican leadership that, you know, that there is a contingent out there not happy with the status quo. I'm not sure how much of an effect it'll take, but, overall, the elections kind of went the way I thought they would.
Right, but, you're not going to expand on that?
Well, I was waiting to get your take.
I think elections matter, and this is the direction that the people of Idaho want to go. Now, will the two parties come together in the Republican Party? I got to tell you, though, and you know me, I kind of get on certain kicks. It's like when I like a song, I'll play it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my kick is media coverage once again. And I know really the media here isn't that high profile, with the exception of our friends at Channel 7. And that's not pandering. That's just the truth. But I noticed the giddiness when they had the little reporterettes, or the reporters. I can't really tell the difference between the men and the women anymore. And they were at the Democratic headquarters. Now, there really isn't much. I mean, why cover the Dems? There's nothing going on. Hey, there's A.J. Belukov. It's the first time we've cited him outside of social media in 3 months. And their big goal, we just want to get the most votes. Well, they didn't. They didn't come close. And the Democrats really did it, and you could see the joy. And then I noticed the lost art of political reporting that seems to be just withering away. You have reporters that are very good on the crime beat, very good on certain other things. But when it comes to being in a polling booth, I found their presentation to be very uncomfortable. They were not comfortable talking to people about the elections. That was my takeaway from last night.
I think it's pretty obvious. The other thing is very sad, and watching, I watched One Plus One, and I watched Channel 7's coverage last night with their team reporting, and they'd go out to the different polls, and it's like, there was a voter here about 10 minutes ago, but they got it all set up, and then you'd see all the people sitting, waiting to take the votes. And now back to you. And then they go, let's go out here to this polling spot. And okay, yes, there's a person voting now. And it's like, stop. And we'll have coverage for you at 9 tonight. It's like, stop. It's just, it was trying to be voter coverage. It's very difficult, and we are aware of that as well, on what we do or did not do for coverage last night. It was all available for you online. But very difficult to do in a primary, especially when, as you mentioned, for the Dems, there weren't really too many races for the Democrats, as one candidate. It's hard to have a party when there's nothing close.
Are you sharpening a pencil or something there?
No, I have a scanner that's going off, and it's about 10 feet from me. It's just noise on it. So
I see.
Just never mind the man behind the curtain. I am the powerful Oz. So you have, you know, as far as the Republicans, there's some closer, more interesting races. But when you have the polls that close in North Idaho at 9 o'clock, you know, it's late getting there. And, you know, so it's always tough how to do coverage and what to do on coverage. And it wasn't until later, you know, the early returns showed it very close in the governor's race. And it wasn't until later that that was decided.
Right. And I don't know if the governor's accepted or if the senator has conceded yet.
I was just looking for that just right before you came to me, and I had not got a total answer.
Yeah, Senator Folger talked to Channel 7 at 10:30 last night, and he said, look, whatever happens, I'm happy with it. He told us that off the air.
Mm-hmm.
But the greater ramification is you have this these coalition of conservative groups, and the highest really total they got is what Senator Folger got, which is about 42%. So what does that really say? That the divide is growing, where you have 60% of well-financed incumbent candidates. And here's the question. At 580-5436, let's face it, you have these well-financed candidates. I mean, the governor outspent Senator Folger 3-1. You take a look at Mike Simpson, who, you know, what was it, 60-38, beat Brian Smith. You take a look at these guys, and... you know, was that really an impressive victory? Was it impressive that the governor right now has 51.3% of the vote? Senator Folger has 43.6%, but he was outspent, you know, 3-1.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I mean, I think it was a closer race than I thought it was going to be. And it should send a message that, you know, to the established incumbent that there is that faction that's not real happy.
Right, but here's the old Karl Rove trick. What are they going to do? Vote for the libs?
No, that's not going to happen. You know, you're not going to have somebody who voted for Folger is not going to go, then I'm taking Belukov.
They might stay home.
They might.
But on the other hand, you take a look at Belukov, and whether it's the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Education, the secretary of being the governor, they're just running on education. That's the one issue, is education. And Mr. Belukov's a successful guy, but, you know, you put him next to Butch Otter, and you better have more than the schools. And I can tell you this, I addressed this with the governor off the air when he was in last Friday, and he took a look at, he said, look at what I've done with the schools, the task force, this, that, and the other. He's reversed a lot of that acrimony that happened after Props 1, 2, and 3. So he's positioned nicely for the general election, I would say.
I would think so. The only wild card is if somebody then came up and started an independent campaign that would split that Republican vote.
John Bujak, you know, Libertarian.
I mean, that would be the only possibility of a danger in it, I would think.
Don't mess with the Buj.
Yeah, so that's what you got going on there.
I just find it interesting that the election is over. And what does it really say about the Rebel Alliance? What does it say? You know, people are going to say, well, they lost. Well, they were outspent, you know, 3-4-1. I'd love to see the money Mike Simpson spent and his acolytes compared to Brian Smith. Now, Brian Smith was not a likable candidate. He was right. People agreed with what he said, but he just didn't have that personable touch. Mike Simpson, on the other hand, you might not agree with his stuff, but people seem to kind of like him. And he'll engage, but I go back to this at 580KIDO, and I'm looking at this race. I mean, it was probably 5-10-1.
Yeah.
Simpson spending versus Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you probably saw more spending out of the Republicans this time on this primary than I think I ever remember seeing being spent in a long time.
How about this? Lawrence Denny returns now as the nominee for Secretary of State. That hasn't that will not look good for the that will not be good with the Republican Party establishment. They had Phil McGrane, they had Mitch Toriansky, they had this Evan Frazier, and Denny came through. Now you take a look at Toriansky and McGrane, both kind of drawing from the same crew, and their totals would have beat Denny, or Evan Frazier getting out, maybe those totals would have gone to the other. But on with a four-way split, Denny did win. And then you've got Holly Woodings. She only got, what, 24,000 votes for a Dem. You know, Denny doubled that vote in a four-way field. So you got to admit that looks good for Denny.
You would think so, but name recognition helps there. You know, Lawrence Denny's name, a very recognized name.
Well, and again, that's why it's so hard to unseat an incumbent. But I still go back to 43%. You know who had the numbers correct?
Who?
You're going to jump out of the building when I tell you this.
Yeah?
Dustin.
Dustin? Mm-hmm. Oh, Justin, our political correspondent?
He had the numbers correct yesterday. He told me that this would happen. He said it would be Otter 52, Fulcher 42, something like that.
Well, a little stat thrown up at me that in an interview, Simpson said he and Smith together spent about $5 million, including packs on that.
Yeah, Simpson probably spent about four of that. There's no way that Smith spent more than $1 million.
But that's a lot of cash coming into the system, more than I think. Like I said, there's been years where I've seen almost nothing come in because there was nobody running against, that was unopposed. So very interesting race, and I think a lot of the topics, were addressed. We'll just see how those who are incumbents react to those.
Yes, well, we will take a look at that. Other big news of the day. I don't know about you, but I was watching TV last night. I didn't watch any of these things, but you had the finals of The Voice, the finals of Dancing with the Stars, and American Idol, like the first of two nights. And I'm thinking, does anybody care anymore? This used to be must-see TV.
Nobody cares about that. Here's something I care about. Can I take a left turn on you?
Sure.
For the first time, and they've been trying to do this for a long time, 10:30 this morning we'll have a press conference out of BSU. It looks like they will name Bronco Stadium. And they've never had that for Bronco Stadium before. It's a lot of cash. And I know there's a company called Learfield that has naming rights, but I think that's been rescinded. I think that money goes to BSU and not to Learfield. And we don't know how much it is yet, and Channel 7 has leaked out that it's going to probably be called Albertson Stadium.
Well, what are your thoughts on that?
I understand the move for the cash. I get that. It just bothers me that it's no longer Bronco Stadium. It'll be Albertson Stadium, if they are correct in their assumption there.
Right. Well, I'm going to say something unpopular.
Okay.
Where were these jabronis 5 years ago when it mattered?
Albertsons?
No, well, I know the Albertsons deal, but
I was going to say they were buried five years ago.
But I mean, where was someone that would see the value in getting a good deal back during the Kellen Moore era? And you could say they tried and stuff. Well, we try a lot of things, but you talk about getting value, that's when you get the value.
Kevin, my father always told me there's no such thing as try. You
right.
do it or you don't.
I agree with your father on that, Dave. And think about this. Okay, so it's Albertsons Stadium. With all due respect, what big team's coming here?
Washington.
Until they cancel that one.
Michigan State, allegedly.
Right. But, I mean, remember when Oregon came here, the last really big game? I guess you could say TCU.
Say Oregon is the last big game.
Right. I mean, you had, the Friday night game. Everybody was here. I'm thinking to myself, Cowboy Stadium, I get that. It's some of these other teams. But to name it now, I think they missed the boat. And look, with all due respect, Albertsons is a great local company. I would rather have them spend it on their employees and their stores than the stadium. I don't know what kind of bump, and please correct me if I'm missing something. What kind of bump is it that they're going to get a free loge or something?
Who, Albertsons?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get a free suite. But my thought on this, to address your comment, I'm going to bet, and I don't know the numbers, but I bet it's selling a lot cheaper today than what they were asking 5 years ago. 5 years ago, they were probably asking a bigger ticket.
Well, and does this mean that they need the money?
Well, sure, they always need the money.
Right, but before they had Coach Pete, they had the BCS, they had all these other things. Now they don't have that money in the budget.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, but you're not going to hear this anywhere else here at 580KIDO. I mean, we are going to focus in on the election results, and we're going to talk to everybody else. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, in reality, you're not going to get this from any other news outlet and where people are going to actually question it. So what's the big deal? Well, they're doing this, and it's great, and it's fun, and it's exciting. Well, okay, well, how does that change my life? How does that change your life? How does it change the lives of the good employees like we have at the 10 Mile Albertsons or anywhere else? You know, you're in an ultra-competitive market. Is that going to help Albertsons over Winco? Is that going to help Albertsons over Rosars or Walmart or Costco?
I would suppose on a large regional basis, yeah, it gets their name out there.
It's, I mean, still
why,
not going to, when I'm
why
not going to,
anyone I'm, else, why does anyone else name a stadium?
Well, I'm not going to buy my banana peppers from Albertsons over Fred Meyer just because they named it Broncos Stadium. Albertsons has a better deal on them, but, you know, I'm just saying.
It's a marketing move.
I get it, but I still don't see the bang for the buck for a company like Albertsons. Okay, it's branded. Okay, Joe Albertson Stadium. Joe Albertsons, like J.R. Simplot, a great guy, a great contribution. But what does that do? Like, I you know, if it were bodybuilding.com. Okay, I get that.
Why would you get that over Albertsons?
Because it's branding.
It's not branding for Albertsons?
Not really. I don't see the benefit. I see the benefit of bodybuilding.com because, oh, bodybuilding.com stadium. I'm going to go check that out.
You confuse me. Why it would be good for
bodybuilding? One is a local platform and one is a national platform.
No, Albertsons is not just local, Kevin. If Albertsons was only Boise, that's...
I get that, but Albertsons is owned, what, by the same people that own Kroger or something like that? They have a partnership with those folks or something? Anyway, it's all...
I don't think so anymore, but yeah.
But what I'm saying is, where's the benefit? If it's regional, if it's... I just don't see... How that's, I mean, it's not the NASCAR effect. You know, I'm going to go to Lowe's because I like Jimmy Johnson. I'm not going to go to Albertsons because I like the Broncos. That's my point. I think it's wonderful. It's great. But what's the benefit to
the folks?
So you're
going to go to bodybuilding.com if they name the stadium?
I would be inquisitive about what is it, like Quicken Loans Arena. I go, oh, Quicken Loans. I just think
nobody's going to go, oh, Albertsons. I don't understand your logic.
The audience is already built in. And I think that money could be better spent updating stores.
Wouldn't it be better spent for bodybuilding.com to invest in something else?
They're an online company. They're doing, you know, you're confusing the issue here. I'm talking about Albertsons, not bodybuilding.com. That was just an example.
But you're confusing me. But we're out of time, Kevin.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up, we'll talk a little mortgages, get your thoughts on last night's election results. As we move along, time to start the day. Good morning.
Serving Meridian.